Beis Adar Rishon, Sunday the 6th of February, Rabbi Michoel Scharf, The Problems of Oil Contained in Products Without a Hechsher, Part 2.
Good morning, good chodes. Moshe Nechnef, Odor Malbim Befimcha. And we now have to try to go into the second part of the oil topic, which we already spoke a while ago. I think in particular this week, Fedra, the Torah starts speaking about Shemen Zayis. So I think it's quite appropriate just to discuss a little bit more in details the olive oil, starting with the olive oil production. And then we try to go on to different type of oil as well. The Torah in Devar Sedra says, Ve'ato tetzaves b'nei Yisroel v'iku elicho Shemen Zayis ezoch Kosis la'moir la'alo yisner Tomit. There's many diukim in this posuk. It's very early in the week, so mimele. I need to look it through the psukim, but usually by the end of the week, Moshe Nadurki learned, so we know a little bit. So just to pick up a few things, Rashi brings up as the Rebbe Shlomo of Metzavgim from Moshe Rabbeinu to bring from the Hadlokas Amenoira Shemen Zayis Zoch. What's Zoch? It Rashi Zoch Beli Shomorim Kemo Shoninu B'Menoches Megargeroi Beroish Hazayis. Rashi brings as in the olive oil, you should take the virgin, not really what we call the extra virgin. We'll explain in a minute. Ba'akuponim Rashi Beli Shomorim, without any Shomorim, which is without any sediments. And we see what Chazal means Shmorim, what we call Shmorim today is a bit different. Rashi explained, Kimui Shishoninu Vimenochus Megar Geroi Beroish Hazayif, will explain in a minute what it is. And the Torah carry on Kosis Lamoir. What means Kosis Lamoir? You take the droplets which comes out of the olives, and that's what you use for the menorah. Rashi explained, Azeisim or your kuisis b'machteshes, you used to press it a little bit with a special press. Ve'enu tichron b'rechaim, but you don't mill it with a mill. Kedei shelo yish bo yishmor. So Rashi explained quite clearly how do you get the shmorim, the sediments, is by going through with a mill. Ve'achar shoyitzi tipo gishoino, once you extract the first droplet, machnifon lerechaim, you take the shmorim, the sediments, and then you carry on pressing it, and you get a secondary type of oil, and this secondary oil, Hashemen Hasheni posu lemenere, or bekosher limenoches, shenehema kosis lamoy vilo kosis lemenoches. So the Torah specially wants a special type of oil, for olive oil, for the menorah, and this is the first droplet. Let's try to, I think we explained really how the olive oil is manufactured, but just we want to go a little bit more to see the difference between what the Chazal is talking and what we are today doing. We are used to have on the market what we call the extra virgin oil, or virgin oil, which Bemis is the same thing, and then you got olive oil. Which we call the pomace oil. The way to do it today, they take olives, obviously today they don't take one or two olives, the way it's harvested, we already explained that you go through around the tree and you shake the tree and all the olives drops, and either in a net or in like an umbrella style, and you take all these olives, you need to press it straight away. The way it's pressed is exactly the same way they used to do it with a stone mill, what they called it. The olives, everything is uncold, the olives comes into a big circle where you got the three stones turning around and crushing all the olives, and slowly, slowly you have the oil, which crude oil or extra virgin oil, which come through. Still a bit dark at the time, with a bit of leftovers and a bit of flesh of the olive, and then it goes through filters and it's ready to be bottled. That's what they call the extra virgin oil. This manage no process apart from the pressing, separation. It goes through a separation machine to remove all the leftover of olives, which debris and especially like a cloudy element, which is basically the flesh of the olive, to remove it, and then it goes through filters and into the body. This is what they call the extra virgin oil. The second part, which today is called olive oil or pomace oil, they take the sediments, which today we call sediment, all the pomace, what they call it, the pomace, you take it, and you usually companies don't do the two things together. They take it, they send it away to a special refinery. But then you need to extract the rest of the oil which is contained in the sediment. The way to do it, you then cook the pomace with a live steam injection, so you cook it, and with extraction, with the blending of the hot water, steam, which come in conjunction with the pomace, you extract more oil, you then press it, so you have a blend of water and oil together, you separate it, and you get a secondary type of oil, which is thus is called normal olive oil. Now, when the Torah speak about Shemen Zayin Zoch, and we see that Rashi says, B'li Shemorim, Megalvi Rusha Zayin, we're talking without any press, we know that what we have today, extra virgin oil, is ready with the Shemorim. Because they take the whole olive that we said in Gosri and press, and thus is ready, including the Shemorim, because we're extracting the Shemorim. In the Zman de Besam Migdash, the Gemara says, Megalvi Berosh Hazayit. In fact, in the Gemara, these two Leshonos, Rashi, like the Megar Geroi, I think in the Gemara, what does it mean, Megar Geroi, Berosh Hazayit? It means they used to go and pick the olives to make sure they are ripe. The way it's done with the sound olive is in a tree, in a fruit, it's hidden into leaves, and you want to make sure that you're going to extract the first droplet of oil, which is already in the olives. You're not going to create a droplet, so you need to make sure you're taking ripe fruit, ripe olive, and you just need to press a little bit, and you're going to get out this droplet. And that's what Megalgir Baruch Hazayit mean. Now, today you can't start pressing and going picking olives to try to get the right. So you take everything at once, you wait more or less. The ripening is most of the tree and the field is ripe. Now, the problem with it is, how are you going to manage to extract the same amount from some type of olive with the other type of olive? So, some companies, in general, they don't do anything. You try your luck. You know, more or less, the yield was going to come out. You take a test beforehand of various batches and you're happy with it. Some company, however, once they harvest the olive, they will spray a certain thing which is called an enzyme on it, on the olive. And the work of the enzyme is to break the olive's droplet, the molecule of the olive which is contained in the olives. So when you start pressing, you get an equal extraction and you maximize the extraction of the oil. It is very important for them to get the maximum olive oil, because that's why it's classified as the extra virgin, at a different price of the normal oil. So mainly that's why they try to extract. About Kuponim for Beis HaMikdash, what we have today, it was not the right one. They used to take it and just to press it a little bit and to get it. What is fascinating is that the Gemara says, Koses Lamoil, you can crush meal the sediment and was even Bisman Chaval, but it only causes la moir and not causes le menoir. And really, the Gemara has a question: the choir should be a kind of choimer. Uma be menoir, what you don't eat it, it the Torah wanted to have causes la moir, mamish such a pure things. Menoches shiruim la achile, you should definitely believe that. The Mishnah has the question in Menoches asked Pevor. The Gemara, Avkal HaMenoches, Oyu Bedin, Shitoranu Shemen Zayin Zoch. The Menoche, definitely. Ma Menoche, She'eno Le'achil, Le'teuna Shemen Zayin Zoch. Uma, we don't eat, it's only Le'oire. Menoche, She'eno Le'achil, for the Mizbeach. Yeah? Eino Din, Shitoranu Shemen Zayin Zoch. And the Gemara explained, this is Exeres HaKosov. The Mishnah said, Talmud Lo'imach, Zoch, Kosis La'moir, Men Zoch, Kosis Le'menoches. But the Gemara still want to understand really what is the explanation. Why is it that the Torah was so particular in only in Shemen Zayin Zoch for the menorah and not for the menoches? In a very, very interesting Gemara, the Gemara said, Af kol ha-menoches hoyu bedin, ton rabbonon, the Gemara zogt for one thing. Elo mipnei achisochen, As Rashi explains, Atire Choso Amamoinon Shel Yisrael. Because if you would need to have this extra version of what Chazal talking about, the expression of the first few droplets, you know how many olives you need, it's incredible. So for the menorah, you need it so and so much. Okay, but for the menorahs, there were so many menorahs, and everyone who brings a menorahs will need to bring the Shem and Zayizot, would be very, very expensive. And especially what you're going to do with the Shmolim, okay, you could have done with for own purpose, but the Gemara says, for this reason, Atir Choso Al Mamoinom Shel Yisroel. Although, and we see Taki in the Beis HaMikdash, the various time we see Atir Choso Al Mamoinom Shel Yisroel, and maybe another time we'll speak about it, we see sometime a difference between Beis HaMikdash Rishon and Beis HaMikdash Sheni. Beis HaMikdash Rishon, sometime we see Chazal was not so machpid, and later on was more machpid. These are all very nice Rosh in humor in Umfang Peretor, because they explain a little bit of the difference between those two things. But Akroponim, this is the answer for the two things. Today, however, the way of extra virgin oil is exactly what we said before. They press and they get olive oil. Usually, companies will bottle on site. So they refine the oil and they keep it on storage. One of the way of keeping it on the underneath in special, about the top companies keep it in stones, in klicheres, in a cool temperature, in basements. But they bottle it all on site, and this is usually for one reason, because price. They keep a very high privilege, so you know it's been bottled in the same place, ensuring there was no mixing in different type of kind of oil. So it's quite a very much control. We mentioned last time that although the control of the government are strong about extra virgin oil, but still more than 50% of the olive oil manufacturing has been found to blend different, a certain percentage of different type of oil, usually soya oil, to blend into it in order to give them more margin, because olive oil obviously is much more expensive, so they will blend different oil. Obviously, when the olive oil usually blend only with sunflower oil, so we're not talking about blending a different type of fat. Today, buying extra virgin oil, BMS, as far as the extra virgin oil himself, has no problem. Yes, there is a chance that they will blend soya oil, but the soya oil himself is also cautious. Rather, it's more government problem rather than our problem in the cautious field, because we find out that all the soya oil which they use, various company, has been found. Today, I just come back last week from Eretz Yisrael and spoken to the Badatz about it, and they did find a lot of companies who also was blending some various type of oil, but they've been caught a lot by the government, because today the government are really tracking on it, and it is definitely decreasing this issue. I think the only issue which really left us with the extra virgin oil is if it's bottled on site or not bottled on site. If olive oil has been bottled on site in the country of origin where it's pressed, there's no problem whatsoever. It doesn't cause any kashrus issues. The only kashrus issue which can start is when they transport the oil from one place, the country of origin, which is Spain usually, and Italy, some Cyprus usually all arrive really bottled. They don't send it shipped like that most of the time. Only the bulk manufacturing of olive oil come from Italy and Spain, which arrive in truck. The problem in truck transportation is that the same equipment can be used for non-kosher liquid product. For example, one way the truck transported milk will be wine, will be different animal fat, fish oil, and various type of things. So this truck had the bleas of Esau, especially many of those type of things like fat, animal fat, and so on. It's transported hot. Mainly you got really bleas Esau. And the second thing is, it's kovush as well, which means that the non-kosher liquid were transported or more, were kept in the trunk more than 24 hours. So Mimele, the Kelim fell became also Midin Kovush, and later on they will then transport extra virgin oil. Although the control of washing is very particular in olive oil, and one of the reasons is because olive oil is somehow bitter and has a special type of test. Even a machloket between the poskim, if olive oil is dovo charif or not, according to the Prichodosh, and some other claim that zeis, we find in the Gemara, which is mar, is very bitter, and according to the Prichodosh, the olive oil which comes out of an olives is mamash dovo charif. The Prichodosh talks about they used to make grinding the olives into a chometz dikemil. So even if it's cleaned out, he claimed, because the dovo charif in mele it have blias in of chometz, you know how to use it on Pesach, and that is a special way of kashering. So according to some on the poskim, it's only if you have particles of olives in it, but even today they are very careful, so the truck will go through a special washing facility. Now, to kasher a truck, and this is a general problem that we have in all type of oil without a hechsher. When we going to, for example, make sunflower oil, soy oil, rapeseed oil, usually they are not always refined in the same place where it's bottled. Most of the time, they are only refined and shipped in trucks. The company who produce are not bottlers. And how do they transport today? You always transport with truck. So the one thing which we need to know is that Chazal tell us as a keli don't have shishim kenegdoi. If, for example, a keli will be more than shishim to the liquid that you have inside, so we can say that even if there is the bliyus isur in the keli, in the trunk, for example, will be bottled into the liquid. However, Chazal tell us that the keli do not have shishim kenegdoi to what you have. So if you're cooking in a pot, and the pots suddenly you realize that the pot was a milky pot and you are cooking their meat, even if the pot is full, you definitely not have shishim towards the food which you have inside. Chazal knew the calculation, from the people who are quite mathematic here, will know all the cheshbonos. The Taz, however, mentioned that today you can find very strong metal, which maybe in Bismarck Chazal didn't have so much, and sometimes you may found that, yes, there is a kli which is more than less than shishim, well, or more than shishim, less than shishim to the liquid. For example, even the blias will be bottled in the liquid, depending how much liquid you have in it and how thick the metal is it. Although the Taz says, so the Taz says every time depends on the calculation. Today, most of the truck have been worked out that do not have shishim connected the liquid. There was a whole project we worked together with in America with the OU regarding the transportation of the oil from the Far East in the boat shipment. Now, transporting oil, when we look in a truck, is about 22,000, 25,000 liter, really transported in kilogram, so it's a 25, 26 ton of product. And the truck is definitely less than shishim towards the liquid that you transport, especially that you don't fill the full truck all the way up. Now, bringing oil from the Far East, it's not bought in truck, it's bought in a massive ship container. In a ship you can have approximately up to 112, 120 room containers inside, and everyone have a capacity of 120 ton. It's a massive, massive, sometimes 1,200 ton capacity. But obviously, you need a very strong wall as well. You can't have a very thin aluminium wall to support there's mass, so it's relatively, you can't always say that it has a shishim. And also, one of interesting point, where we were working out the shishim kenegdo, you have in this rooms, what they called us, the chambers, you have so many places where you have small leather going down for cleaning purposes to ensure that everything is clean. But this leather are actually affixed to the wall, so they are also part of the cheshbon of calculating the shishim. So, sometimes we did find that it was more than shishim, and some most of the time it was less than shishim. So it's quite the cheshbon relying on the keli, that the keli, the bliyas, it will be both of the shishim, it's not so simple. The only thing what one can rely is on a washing facility. In order to kasher such a truck, you need to have a hachshor, a hagolah. Today, the washing facility is done by special washing companies. You bring in the truck is open up, you have usually between 3 and 5 outlets on top doors. You open up the doors, and you fix a special, what they call a CIP system, where there's a spray ball which inject hot boiling water through the whole circulation into the pipe system. Now, if this is a call 100% hachshor or not, it's questionable. We worked out a different way by having both hot water and steam injection. So the problem is that when you get the water sprayed into the truck, it's called the irrecalation. And according to some poskim, definitely if you have a dvorim asurim inside, like cloud, fish oil, and such a thing, you need a proper oil. And irrecalation would not be sufficient. So you need to try to find a way to make it a clearation. You can't put a truck under a gas to try boiling it up. You can't, even if that all the truck have a double jacket around it, you can't bring it up steam in everything. So the only way is to make both live steam and the hot water injection together, so you boil up the water inside through the injection.
Detergent
is only the poigem. There is a big machlokes if you can be poigem the bleas inside with a Michael. So it's
avadim. You've got the detergent and you've got the hot.
Yeah, the two things. The detergent usually is done at 60-65 degrees centigrade, not making a boiling
but
point.
You put the hot steam.
Yeah, but it's still not mamashachshor. But achshor, you need to have a boiling water in the keli. So this is the issue.
I have a problem with the boat as well as only with the lorry.
With the boats? Okay. The containers, boats, we control that. It is correct. Yeah, we control the boats, obviously. That mainly is for the, what we call the hard oil, with palm, coconut, glycerin, which come from the Far East and those type of things. We control all the boats which come in with organizations. It's a lot of work to control that all the boats which come carried only the last 3 loads, only kosher product. So those last 3 loads ensure that nothing would have been left over and so on. So there is a huge control. By the truck, it's quite easy to control. What I'm saying is, buying an oil without Herrscher, the problem with that is, first of all, there's no control on the transportation. And the second thing, which we did find, is there are some bottling plants who also have non-kosher oil on site. Now, why I'm saying non-kosher, I'm not saying non-supervised, I'm talking treifen oil, like lard, like, which is animal fat oil, which is done on site. We mentioned already that there is a decrease in animal fat usage, in principle, in all around Europe. However, there is still a market. One of the things we mentioned is about the frying donuts. They use a lot of lard, chips and fish. Very tradition in England is a lot of them have the oil is blended with a blend of vegetable and lard in it. So someone thinks sometimes I'm buying a kosher piece of fish in a fish and thinking, although okay, bishul akum and all the rest, but we're talking eating lard in it because they blend. And the reason for that is partially because the lard creates like a film around the food, so you don't eat too much oil coming penetrated inside the food itself. This idea of the donuts as well. So it is used in the market, and so although some companies may have 100% rapeseed oil or sunflower oil, Nevertheless, on the same side, they may have non-kosher animal fat on it, and they can have a blend of and the problem of steam system inside. Quite interesting story. Remember, I was going to check shortening factory. We make some shortening is a hard oil compressed together, in a sense, not like a margarine, which is more softer style. Shortening is more used for bakery industry, industrial use. And I discover that the shortening was milchik, well, actually dairy. So I came up to the manager, I told him, you know, your shortening is dairy. What are you talking about? We don't put any milk powder in it, I don't put any yogurt, any stuff like that. Some people do put. So I told him, yeah, I know, but it's still dairy. So I said, how can it be? So I showed them that one of the departments in the factory, they were making margarine with butter, milk powder, and so on, quite high concentration. It was very soft, a very specific type, and it was melting it with a steam system. Now, the steam goes around in a double jacket pot, and so to speak, what we call a vat, and the butter and the milk powder was blended together and was completely melting. The steam had the blias isu, because it had the blias of the Chol of Akum from the other side. The same steam was then turning around and heating up the oil of the shortening. And then the shortening where blias, it was extracting back from the same steam. So he told me, you're right, but there's no cross-contamination. It's something which you cannot explain to a goy. That just is the halacha. A goy will never understand that what mean blias. Something I had it last week, 2 weeks ago. I was in Germany and trying to explain the company. They just did not want to understand. That, you know, against all science, against everything, and it does not exist.
Don't
deal
with Germany.
Sorry? That's the answer. Alright, but I'm asking you, I mentioned once that I was here in England and looking in a sweet factory, who also you need a lot of steam, and they were making, part of the company, they were making some dairy caramel type of things of sweets, which was milchik. And so I told them the steam system is milchik. So, Rabbi, it is no cross contamination. All the pipes and all the equipment are closed. I can't afford to have a leak into the system. So I told them, look, this is the regulation and we need to empty out the boiler and so on. So he told me, I want to be proven wrong. I told him, look, I can't tell you anything, but you know what? Take a sample of the steam, send to laboratory, they can test the amount of sugar inside, and right, so he come back to me, says, I'm just shocked, what's the matter? It's 4% sugar in the steam. Must be we have a leak somewhere, and this is no good for him, as far as quality control. They have a leak and the steam goes in, so what do they do? They send through what they call a colored water in the steam system, and they see if it will discolor the product. So you put in the pot, you're cooking glucose, which is clear, and in the steam you put a color inside, a dye, and everything was clean. That then look, you don't have any leak anywhere, must be the cross-contamination once for all, then McCabell with Chaval. But anyway, this we see, so this is Behemoth, the issue, the main issue in the problem of oil without air. We've got the problem of transportation. We have the problem of okay, and so this is mainly the issue. I just want to share with you one thing quickly about the olive oil for Pesach. I think I mentioned in the past, when we make olive oil for Pesach, obviously everything is cleaned out, and we bottle from the beginning till the end the same time. Now, one new product we came up with this year, and this is oil for Pesach. Oil for Pesach is more complicated because the problem of kidneys. So what we've done is only from nuts. We done a production just 2 weeks ago from the beginning till the end, and we, Be'ez Hashem, maybe another time near Pesach we'll discuss, and it's a new oil, hazelnuts oil, which will produce hazelnuts. And we produce, there's no cholesterol apparently in it, so it's quite good. And quality was very good, Be'ez Hashem. I hope maybe before Pesach we'll have more on the different discussion on Pesach.